British Public Radio.
The Radio Today programme with Audioboo.
Hello, I'm Trevor Dan and this is the Radio Today programme. Later on, the radio news from Roy Martin, Radio Moments with David Lloyd as usual. But first, our much promised interview with TuneIn. Joining me from San Francisco is Kristen George, who is the VP of Product at your favourite smartphone or tablet app. Hello, Kristen.
Hi, how are you?
We're doing very well, thank you. And thank you very much for joining us. I said it's your favourite app, and I think that's because it's probably mine. I think TuneIn is just a terrific idea that allows you access to pretty well any radio station you like on your smartphone, on your tablet, whatever. How long has TuneIn been going, and how many customers, how many users have you got now?
Yeah, so TuneIn as it exists today has been around for about 3 years. That's when we first started developing mobile applications on all the different platforms. And we've got over 40 million people who listen to us every single month on all of these different products.
So 40 million listeners, and that's a business you've built up in 3 years. That's an extraordinary success story, isn't it?
Yeah, it's been a really fun, really exciting ride.
Now, tell me how you get stations involved. Do you go to them and offer your service, or do you wait for them to contact you?
Yeah, so it's a combination of things. There are, of course, big broadcasters that are responsible for hundreds of stations, and that usually is, you know, an ongoing relationship. I think there are many broadcast partners that we talk to, you know, every week, every day, just to see what they're doing, what's happening, what the events are in their local areas, so that we can surface these events to users and let people know what's live on the radio stations from around the world. And then there are lots of internet only. So we've got, you know, a folk station in Antarctica, and they're, you know, people that we can't get to easily, and we support them as they have, you know, any stream problems or, you know, as they're telling us what live events are happening on their station. So that's more them coming to us and letting us know what's new.
What's the business model? Kristen, this is the thing that I'm confused about, because I don't have to pay for it. It sits there on my iPad or my smartphone, and I can tune into any radio station, as I say, in the world. But I'm not paying. Are they paying you?
Yeah, so the business model for us and for the radio broadcasters is a little different. So what we do, TuneIn as a product, we connect you to the stream that is owned by the broadcaster, and the broadcaster can put whatever audio ads they want into that stream. And then TuneIn, of course, is the display side of that relationship. And so we have display ads that we can put in front of users, and then we revenue share back with the broadcasters based on the money that we make on display when that display is happening on the station that they own.
Okay, so how does that work with the BBC, for instance, which doesn't carry any adverts on its domestic services? You know, how do you monetize that?
Yeah, so the BBC, or in the United States, the NPR, that's a special relationship. So for us, it's less about monetizing content that wasn't meant to be monetized in the first place. So NPR and BBC fall under that category. It's more about how can we bring all of the radio stations in the world to people, and then when there is, you know, high value premium content that carry, you know, Premier League or NFL or March Madness, these are areas where people, the broadcasters, want to make money, and so we put the display ads there.
One of the things that I'm really interested in is your research. We all know, because we're constantly told, that under 25s don't listen to the radio, and yet there is some evidence that once you put radio services onto a smartphone rather than in a box called a radio set, they are finding it more attractive. So is your business telling you that young people are interested in the radio, even though it's not, you know, it's not YouTube, it hasn't got pictures for them to watch?
Absolutely. Also, TuneIn, I think we have to define what radio means. So there is terrestrial, like AM, FM radio stations that TuneIn carries. There's also internet-only radio stations. So I think there's a lot of data out there that implies that young people are listening to internet only. And then, of course, we've got over 2 million different shows and podcasts. podcasts are still very, very popular with youth. So I think it kind of depends on the type of content that you're talking about inside of the TuneIn product. But I think terrestrial AM, FM radio, even on a smartphone, shows that it's very universal. Every age under the sun that you can imagine pretty much listens to the TuneIn product.
It's the Radio Today program. I'm Trevor Dann. We're talking with Kristin George, who is VP of Product at TuneIn. And Kristin, I wondered if you've seen other applications like, for instance, the UK Radio Player or the BBC iPlayer Radio and what you think of them.
Yeah, I have. Actually, I think they're some of the best products on the market as far as listening to radio online. If you look at specific countries, you'll see that they're like the UK, Germany, France, the US, even Australia, I think. These are areas that have country-specific radio players. And within a particular country, I'm a little bit envious because it is very, it's a much simpler problem to create a radio experience around just a specific geography. I think one of the things that TuneIn does really differently is we have to think about each one of those locales and how do we create an experience that's localized and translated and would make sense to that user that, you know, when we're sitting over here in Palo Alto, California. So I've seen a lot of those products and they're really, really beautiful. And I think we have a lot that we can learn from what they've done.
I asked on Twitter earlier for any questions that people would like me to put to you. And if I may, let me quote Tony Churnside, who said to me, you, that's TuneIn, control the UX of listeners. Do you feel any responsibility, he says, to the content creations in how you frame their broadcasts?
So we feel a lot of responsibility. If you look at our product, we have to serve a lot of needs. There's the need of the user, of course, the person who's listening to the radio station and is trying to discover new radio stations. There are the needs of the broadcaster, who's really interested in gaining additional distribution. There's the needs of the device partner. So how do we make sure that we only surface content that's playable on, you know, BlackBerry versus an Android device versus an iPhone or, you know, a Samsung TV. So I think that there are a lot of players here and that are involved in the way that we manage that through a couple different channels. The first is every time we do a new design or we move things around or we try to create a rich experience, we bring in people from the street and we just ask them questions. We put our mocks in front of them and see if we're building a better experience, not just from our perspective, but also from an outsider's perspective. And then, of course, we have a really big customer support team that just monitors places like Twitter and the App Store comments and just tries to weed out any issues or concerns or improvements that people would like to see. And then we have our broadcaster relations team that spends all this time, you know, talking to broadcasters and figuring out how we can serve them better. So, yeah, I think there's a lot of responsibility and even sometimes conflicting needs from those different groups. So it's one of the grander challenges that we deal with.
There's been quite a lively Twitter correspondence between two big beasts of UK radio, one of whom is working in Australia now. That's Clive Dickens. The other is James Cridland. They've been talking to each other in light of this interview that we're doing today, asking about whether TuneIn shares any figures about its consumption, in particular, how long people listen to TuneIn per week. And James was asking it. Clive Dickens was saying that actually this data is available to you if you are one of the client stations. James is wondering why it's never actually published. So would you like to talk to that for a minute, Kristin?
Absolutely. So we are very sensitive about the metrics because, of course, there are metrics and they're about our products, but they also are metrics in comparison with other stations on the platform that we feel like are at least in 50% owned by the radio station or the radio broadcast group. So we have a product called Amplifier, and we give Amplifier access to our radio broadcast partners, and we allow them to see, you know, this is how many listeners you had over whatever period of time you want to select. These are their geographies. we can even get down to these are the devices that that somebody is listening on to your station. So I think we have it very publicly if you visit our website, but it's just something that we do to support radio broadcast partners.
So I guess the question is, Kristen, are you going to publish that sort of information to everybody at some stage?
Oh, to the public? No. So what we do is we give the metrics of someone's stations to them, to that broadcast partner. So it's less about comparing. If we're not trying to be sort of an arbitron where we're showing this is CBS, you know, versus Federated Media. I think what we're trying to do is allow broadcast partners to see the transparent information about their stations on the TuneIn platform, if that makes sense. So we publish it to the broadcast partners that own those stations, but we're not trying to create comparative metrics in the marketplace.
Okay. Kristen, how do you compare the service that TuneIn offers with what iTunes have now called iRadio and, you know, Spotify's attempts to be radio, not just a music stream, and obviously Pandora and all those other streaming services which are now using the word radio? How do you compare what they're doing with what you're doing?
So this is one of my favorite questions right now because it seems like it's top of mind for everyone. I was actually using iRadio for the first time last night, and it's a pretty cool product. If I look at the audio space, the digital audio space, which I believe we're in, I think it pretty much comes down to two different experiences. One is, hey, I know exactly what I want to listen to, and I want to listen to it right now. I think Pandora and iRadio also help with this experience. So I'm really interested in listening to Stay by Rihanna. Well, maybe Pandora and iRadio can't give me Stay by Rihanna right now, but if I listen to their, you know, Rihanna station for 15 minutes, I'm probably going to hear it at some point in time. So we at TuneIn call this, you know, your playlist on shuffle. And so I think that there's a really amazing use case there, and one we like to support. So if you look at TuneIn as a product, we go after the live, human-curated audio content, which is a bit of a different space. And for us, the idea is you're not looking for a specific song, even a specific artist. What you're looking for is this perfect person on the other end that's hand-selecting music, you know, talking you through your morning, giving you play-by-play sports scores on your favorite team. And then through that experience, we expect that you discover a lot of, you know, information, including you know, songs that you will love and want to download. So if you look at our product, we have a buy from iTunes button every time you see a piece of album art. And the goal there is that we want to support both of these use cases. We want to be your ultimate discovery experience based on the experts that we have that, you know, are curating this content for you. And we want to be able to drive you to listen to that song that you discovered and want to, you know, own, or in the case of Spotify, rent, I guess. Yeah, so that's pretty much how we see the space and how we view ourselves.
One final question from Twitter, if I may. Steve Potter got in touch with me. He works in community radio in the UK, and he wanted me to ask you whether you can speed up the interface for the station so that they can update their information more quickly. And is that a question that you understand?
I think so, a little bit. So we have a couple different sets of tools on our back end where we can integrate with a specific station and get those updates. So we have an AIR API, which helps us get sort of music data feeds in from radio stations. What we also have is a broadcaster support team that can help him answer some of his questions to figure out, you know, what his specific needs are and then how we can help get that information in. We have a huge initiative right now trying to understand what all the live events are on every single radio station. And we have a couple early partners, and it's been proving really well, particularly on the sports side, of course. So I think that would be another interesting way that we could work together.
And I just have one final question, which is, could you fix it for me so that when I switch it on, I get my favorites and not your recommendations on the front page?
Oh, yeah. So the way our application works is it takes you to the place that you last left off inside of the application. So I think that you're probably seeing a browse list, but if you leave the application, it kind of takes you back to where you last were. So I'd have to look at that one specifically.
Well, that sounds good advice. I'm very grateful to you, Kristin, for your time. It's always great to hear somebody talking about radio and calling people who consume it listeners and not users or consumers, even if you are working in the, as you say, the digital space. So we wish you every success. That was Kristin George, who heads up product at TuneIn. This is the Radio Today programme. I'm Trevor Nan, and now here's the editor of Radio Today with the latest UK radio news. It's Roy Martin.
The Radio Today programme with Audioboo.
Thank you, Trevor. This week, Smooth Radio is getting ready for its move to Leicester Square on October the 1st. A number of presenters will no longer be on the station as a result of the move, and Brand PD Steve Collins is also leaving the station after more than a decade in charge. Magic 105.4 programme director Pete Simmons is also leaving his station. He's been there for 5 years during many radars, where the station was the biggest commercial radio station in London. Pete says he's off to try new projects. And there's a new version of the Radio Player app on Android and iPhone. Does lots of cool things and has a nice EPG-style list of exactly what's going on. Have a look. And that's the very latest from radiotoday.co.uk. I'm Roy Martin.
Thank you, Roy. Cue the ad.
In these days of interactivity with the World Wide Web, make it easy for your listeners to share their voices with you via Audioboo. They simply download the app to their mobile device, record a boo, and send to your station. It's that simple. And just to prove a point, this ad was recorded as a boo and sent in from the corner shop. Audioboo, sharing voices with the world.
David Lloyd.
We start this week at the end of Tony Blackburn's time at Radio 1, this week 29 years ago.
And this is the sort of end of an era, really. I opened up Radio 1, and I'd like to just say on behalf of the people that your mums and dads probably will remember, the ones who opened up Radio 1 initially, Roscoe, Johnny Walker, Stuart Henry, people who aren't with us anymore but on various other radio stations, Kenny Everett, David Hamilton, Terry Wogan and Ed Stewart, and all the other guys who were part of this particular era that I've been... part of.
1984, and Tony Blackburn's farewell from Radio 1 after 17 years. And this week in 88, Peter Powell left the station after 11 years. His last spell was also on Weekend Breakfast. So if they ever ask you to do that show, say no. 1995 now, and this week, radio was making the news.
The third age of radio arrived today. That's how the BBC described its launch of a new system known as digital audio broadcasting. DAB will offer listeners high-quality sound, free from interference. But the new radios needed to receive the service cost more than £700 each and won't be in the shops for 2 years.
The news of DAB this week, 18 years ago. Radio was proud of that launch, just as television was proud of this one this week in 1955.
In January this year, the contractors charged with the execution of this new Elizabethan enterprise had nothing more than paper letterheads and hope. Now, 9 months later, something approaching a miracle of organisation and design has been accomplished. Studios, staff and technical equipment have all been assembled. A new public service is about to be launched over the rooftops of old London.
1955 and the modest launch of ITV. But radio wasn't going to sit there and take the new competitor lying down. It pulled out its biggest guns and killed off Grace Archer.
Grace!
For years, there was speculation about whether that dramatic plot in The Archers was serendipity or not. But 5 years ago, a memo from the then controller of the network was unearthed, and it said as follows: "The more I think about it, the more I believe that a death of a violent kind in The Archers, timed, if possible, to diminish interest in the opening of commercial television in London, is a good idea. It's one I will almost certainly have to refer for policy guidance to higher quarters." Here's cause for radio celebration, a 92nd birthday.
Good morning, all. And that's the first lie of the day. It's absolutely terrible down here in London. It's definitely your SOS morning. Showers of snow all over the place. And having, like the rest of all the country, I suppose, slipped and slithered.
The voice of Jimmy Young, born this week as radio itself was born in 1921. And Simon Mayo must be comforted to be born under that same star sign of longevity. He's 55 this week.
I'd done student radio when I was at Warwick, and I'd done hospital radio down in Shoreham, but Radio Nottingham was the start, and what a it was just a fantastic place to work, and it was a wonderful atmosphere. And I'd come from, I better phrase this quite carefully, I'd done some work at a local radio station where the atmosphere was less than pleasant.
Simon Mayo, is it really a year since this chap started on Radio 1 Breakfast?
Quite a surreal day for me. Been dreaming of this since that little child, and now it is day one of the big job, and I'm excited. I'm nervous, I'm excited, but I'm happy, and more than anything, just desperate to get on with it.
Nick Grimshaw in the coattails of Chris Moyles this week in 2012. Changes in regulation now. And this week in 73, at a press conference to launch ILR Commercial Radio, the IBA announced that John Thompson would have the title Director of Radio as the regulator assumed its new additional duties. And this week, the following year, in 74, Cecilia Garnett crossed the floor, leaving the regulator to join the trade body.
If you go up to Glasgow, you'll find that the sound coming out of the Glasgow transmitter will be perhaps not to a Londoner's taste, but it will certainly, I think, be to a Glasgow person's taste. Of course, they brought stereo to Scotland, which I think was very important. Then you've got contrasting that completely with a station like BRMB in Birmingham, who are very much providing a social service.
The climate of commercial radio in 74, as told there by Cecilia Garnett. Back to the art now, and this week in 65, another pirate station launched, broadcasting from a fort in the Thames estuary just off Whitstable.
We'll be back on the air at 6:30 in the morning with our first programme of the day, Morning Melody. Till then, we wish you a peaceful night and a pleasant and happy day tomorrow. So from us all here on Radio 390, good night everyone. Good night.
Don't you just love that second, intimate goodbye? Radio 390 from Red Sands Fort, playing sweet music aimed, they said, at housewives whilst their husbands are out at work. Goodbye, darling. And from the North Sea to the East Midlands, Radio 390 to Radio 106.
But before we hear the first record, I'm very pleased to be able to hand over to the nation's most famous television newlyweds, John Savidant and Sherry Hewson, better known as Coronation Street's Fred and Maureen, who'll put us on the air.
Body. Radio 106, launching this week in 1997. Later century, later heart, and now Gem 106. Some things just stay the same, though, and this week in 1955, a programme launched which lives on to this day, Fook, from our own correspondent. In 1980, TV correspondent Charles Wheeler spoke about how the programme used radio's magic.
When I was in America, for example, if I was covering a demonstration, let's say, Martin Luther King March in Chicago, he's stoned by the local Polish community because he's trying to bring about open housing, break open white areas for blacks. And in the middle of that demonstration, there's a call box at the side of the road. And I can go in, I can put 10 cents in, and I can dial London, and I can do an immediate piece with the door of that phone box open, and London can actually hear the noises going on while I'm doing it. You can't do that in television.
Charles Wheeler, one of the many voices heard over the years on From Our Own Correspondent, which began on the Home Service this week in 1955. So with South Coast Radio launching this week 22 years ago, Amber Radio launching 18 years ago, and EMAP restructuring after acquiring the Metro Radio Group 18 years ago, those are this week's Radio Moments.
Radio Moments.
Thank you very much, David Lloyd. Thank you, Roy Martin. This has been the Radio Today programme, a TDC production, and we'll have something very similar next week.